And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I got to tell you guys a few things here, just some business with my folks here, just some business with the Right Side Ruffians. So a bunch of y'all have, you dial in, so to speak, to the rightsideradio.org website. Lots of stuff on there. Just want you to know some new stuff. I mean, it's all like the website's been redone. Many, many thanks to Birdman. And I'll tell you too, this was, talk about being under attack. We were literally under attack. So we had a denial of service attack on our website. It took down certain portions of it. Birdman salvaged all of it, but then he migrated us to a different platform that was safer, more secure. And oh, by the way, while he was doing that, we were a little irritated with YouTube and all of its glorious progressiveness. They decided it was going to what's the word I'm looking for? Block some of our broadcasts.
Yeah, block and delete.
Yeah, block and delete some of our broadcasts. So, all right, fine. We just moved it on over. So if you were going to YouTube to watch the show, best thing now, just go to rightsideradio.org. It's hosted on a different platform. It live streams right there. And I'll be honest with you, the picture looks better. I don't know what the deal is, but it's not because of my hair today. I'm just saying the picture looks better. It just, I don't know, it looks clearer. Am I seeing that, or is it just...
Oh, it looks clear. It looks good.
Birdman's doing his magic.
Yeah. Way to go, Birdman.
That's right. Can't do without good folks. Rightsideradio.org. All of our stuff is on there. You got the live stream option right now. You can be watching the show if you want to. You can also live stream the audio. So if you're anywhere and you can't get, like your AM/FM, which, by the way, if you're outside of our AM/FM, you're pretty much out of North Alabama because we broadcast from Clanton all the way to the Tennessee line. But AM/FM is big for us, but a lot of folks, they will just live stream the show audio while they're driving or while they're on vacation. I had one guy call in the show one day. He was sitting on the beach and called in from the beach. That was cool. But that happens a lot. That's why we have so many great listeners from out of state. And by the way, I'll say hello to a few of them. Steve in Tennessee, Jerome in Rome. I got folks up in Detroit, Michigan. We got Jeff from Indiana. We got, what was the guy's name? He's called from Wetumpka. I've forgotten his name now. But if you're still listening, we're glad you're there. Anyway, and then on top of that, the podcast, which, where do we hit, Boomer? Where do we get to?
73,200.
That's like almost like a 400 or 500 bump from yesterday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Sweet. Okay, so what? In the middle of all that, I'm assuming my second biggest audience is still the Left Coast. Is that right? Yeah. There it is. I see the stats.
Yeah, it is.
That's cool. Well, hello to California. So all you folks out of state that download the podcast, of which my second biggest audience is still California, we love you on the Left Coast. We're praying for you. Hang in there. Hang in there. Midterms are coming. All right, rightsideradio.org. Tons of stuff. Listen, I'm going to number one on the triple dipper, Biden crying wolf. And that whole thing just kind of came to me in my monologue today when I was preparing about Veruca. It's okay, Veruca. I'll get you one. Oh, but Daddy, I want it now. That's the way it feels. But in the course of giving what, the spoiled child wants now, what's happened is President Biden has chosen to declare another emergency. I mean, did you know? How many of y'all knew that apparently we were in an emergency? Like, oh, I don't know how we got by. It was an emergency, Boomer. I mean, we got people on student loans. We got to declare an emergency.
The student loans was an emergency.
But you know what it was based on? COVID. It's a COVID emergency. That's where he found the ability to declare that he could do this because as a matter of COVID, he could wipe out $300 billion in voluntary student loans. Now, I'm gonna unpack this. This emergency thing is something that's like, it's become a habit with him. I've got one article that suggests he doesn't do it enough. But how many times do we have to see President Biden go to the microphone with that angry, I'm fighting corn pop again looking face and say, this is an emergency and I have to take action as president? It's not an emergency, sir. You just decided to make it one so you could get what you wanted. Maybe he's as bad as Veruca. I don't know. But truth be told, if everything's an emergency, then nothing is. It's like, you know, as much as I'll be honest, when I'm turning on the news, I'm usually turning on Fox News. Right now here in the right side studio, we got two big screens up. One of them is flashing CNN. The one on the right is Fox. But Fox, even Fox, I get a little irritated because everything's a Fox News alert. Everything is not a Fox News alert. But it's like they start every single show, and it's not a Fox News, especially on Hannity. It's not always a Fox News alert. It's just not. Well, the same is true with presidential emergency proclamations. If everything's an emergency, then nothing is. And in this particular case, I would say that this is like the old, you know, the legend of the boy who cried wolf. At some point, people stopped tuning in. You know, the boy who cried wolf, he thought it would be funny. He's out tending his sheep. He screamed, "Wolf, wolf," and the people came running out, and he got the biggest kick, and he rolled with laughter when they ran out there. And then he waited a day or two, and he did it again. And he just rolled with laughter when the people came running out to help. And the next time, though, the real wolf came. And he called wolf, and he cried out, and the people didn't come. Because at that point, they didn't believe him anymore. Well, listen, Mr. President, every time you turn around and say emergency, people look around and go, "What? What? Where? Is there? Who's hurting? What's going on?" There's not an emergency. But this is his shtick. This is how he circumvents his constitutionally allowed executive authorities. He gets around them by not going through Congress, by doing things under the guise of emergency so he can get whatever it is he wants. And that is not a reasonable way to conduct business. Not at all. If you and I did that, if we ran our households that way, ran our businesses that way, we would quickly be out on our keister as people would get tired of dealing with us. Coming in every day screaming, "It's an emergency, we got to do this thing." And everybody runs around like a chicken with their head cut off. Well, I got news. It's like that old saying, you know, a failure to properly, you know, and adequately plan on your part does not constitute a crisis on my part. So that's where we are. Listen, I got plenty of this stuff. I got a stack of stuff. We're going to go through it. Biden crying wolf again and again and again. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, solid conservative and just plain right. Glad to be with you guys. Listen, this is not sitting well. This whole thing about paying off student loans is really not sitting well with the average Joe and Jane. It's not sitting well with some Democrats. I mean, certainly there are progressives who are saying, "Well, this is so important. I mean, you got your payroll forgiveness, didn't you? Your PPP loans." Totally different. Totally. First of all, here's the thing. If somebody says to you, "Well, okay, go ahead and tell me now about all the rich corporate fat cats who got their PPP forgiveness during the pandemic," why is that not the same? Because it's not the same. That's why. Number one, that was congressionally mandated. Congress has the power of the purse. Under the Constitution, Congress has the power to appropriate funds. And unless they have otherwise delegated powers to the executive branch to suspend payments or to, you know, defer payments or, to that matter, to abolish payments, then the executive branch can't do it. On the PPP loans, remember this. During a pandemic under a declared state of emergency, Congress passed a law. It was called ARPA. And they had another one called the CARES Act. Those two things put tranches of money out there, like lots of it. Tranches of money out there, and amongst the legislation that was passed by Congress, there was the opportunity for PPP, payroll protection. I've forgotten what else the P was for. But basically, here's the deal. You could apply for it. It had to be based, it had to be reviewed by a private lender. It had to be approved for the loan in the event that you qualified. And to qualify, you had to show that you had X number of employees and what their payroll was. You had to submit all the documentation. And once you got approved, part of it was if you could maintain your payroll throughout the pandemic successfully, that you could apply to have that thing forgiven. Not everybody got forgiven, although many did. That's a little bit different than the person who willingly signs up for something that is voluntary and they don't have to have to accomplish life, like a liberal arts degree or whatever they got, or an MBA even, or something. Yeah, who knows? But there was. It's one thing to say Congress passed a law to keep people employed so that households would not go under, whereas individuals just really wanted to get a college degree, and I felt like I needed that for my life, and so I took out a loan. Now it's hard, and I don't want to pay it back. Congress didn't pass didn't pass loan forgiveness for you. In fact, Congress actually passed a law saying you have to repay it. Biden chose to declare an emergency and pretend you don't have to. And I got news. Sometime soon, he's going to be handed right back to him. I mean, it's not going to fly. Y'all, this is not going to stick. So if you're out there right now celebrating the fact that you think you just got your student loan forgiven, understand that probably ain't going to stick. You may wind up getting some relief in terms of more deferred payments because under the COVID proclamations that have been in effect now for 2 to 3 years, the president can defer payments. But this whole wiping out of the debt, I mean, basically what he did is he just put everybody into, you know, Title VII bankruptcy and liquidated their debts. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 bankruptcy is where you can liquidate debts. Well, it's like he just took all of those and said, yeah, I'm going to Chapter 7 every one of those student loans. No, it don't work that way. Even then, you have a judge presiding over it to make sure that you qualify, and the creditors are allowed to have a voice in it. Well, okay. Bottom line is this. If everything is an emergency, then nothing's an emergency, and it's not sitting well with people. Hey, Boomer, you got that clip of the guy who saw Senator Elizabeth Warren? You got that one? So here's the deal. This audio clip, by the way, Boomer reminded me of it yesterday. Out on the campaign trail, I think this is 2020, when Elizabeth Warren was still a primary candidate for president, and what does Trump call her? Pocahontas? Pocahontas is out there campaigning. And she was campaigning, and part of her platform was student loan forgiveness because she's a super socialist progressive. And she was asked some pretty hard questions by a dad on the campaign trail. And I wish you could see it, and you can look it up. But at one point, when he's through questioning, he just like looks at her in disgust and turns and walks away. But in the middle of all the background noise, because it was not designed for, you know, quality audio, listen to his questions to her. See if we can hear it. Go ahead and play it, Boomer.
Yep.
I just want to ask one question. My daughter's getting out of school. I've saved all my money. She doesn't have any student loans. Am I going to get my money back?
Of course
not. So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even like that.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter's work sheet is 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
I appreciate
that's
it.
All right.
All right. So if you couldn't hear it, he literally was saying, I did everything it took. I'm paraphrasing here, but I did everything it took. He said, I did everything it took. I sacrificed. I scrimped. I saved. My wife and I did without things. He said, my buddy, on the other hand, he bought himself a nice car. He took trips. He lived large. He said, am I going to get paid back? And she said, of course not. That was her answer. Of course not. Oh, really? And so he literally looks at her and says, well, why would that be? And then he realized she's smirking. He says, you're laughing at me. She says, well, no, I'm not. And he goes, yes, you are. You're laughing at me. And he said, so I did the right thing. A lot of us did the right thing, and we get screwed. Well, okay, here's the deal. He's doing this right now. President Biden's doing this right now under an emergency declaration. Tell me where the emergency was. Where were we on the world? Was there a threat of death going on? Was there somebody out there who was you know, literally about to create a foreign policy crisis? Were we looking at domestic energy production going down because of this? Was something happening that was going to wind up, you know, hurting us as a nation? And I would say the answer to that is no. Were there individuals who were struggling to make the payments they signed up for? Yes. Did they have options? Yes. They've been given deferment now for the opportunity, for deferment for years, for the last 2 to 3 years. But they chose not to take it. That's their fault. But if they are taking deferments, but now they're going to have deferments through the end of this year, and then they're going to have forgiveness, I mean, what the heck? That's called no consequences. Well, I got a stack of stuff there. Here's the thing. President Biden did this under very questionable conditions, an emergency proclamation. I got a caller on line one, Boomer. Yeah, I do. Let me grab that real quick. Line one, Charlie from Huntsville. Hey, Charlie, Phil Williams, how you doing?
I feel good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
The thing is, I talked to several liberals. And they seem to think that this college, quote, forgiveness program, that somehow the richest 1% will pay that back instead of it just getting dumped into the glut of debt. And, you know, every single person is going to be end up paying for this.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, it's going to be harder for the majority of the middle class to pay it back because it saddles them with a bigger burden than it does for someone who is rich. But the truth be told, it's usually the higher income who have taken out the student loans.
To the trillions and trillions of dollars that we've sucked up over the last several years that we've gone further in debt. But, yeah, I heard what you're saying.
Yeah, so your progressive friends who support this, do they recognize the fact that this is a $300 billion wipeout of somebody's voluntary entrance into a contract?
I don't even think they care. But, I mean, I take exception to the fact of that thing you just ran where the guy, hey, I did everything right. I paid mine back. What did I get? Nothing. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think it was a rhetorical question. He knew he wasn't getting paid back. I think he was proud of the fact that he had paid his way. But
right.
But still, yeah, you're right. But I mean, and by the way, how bad would you feel if you paid off your student loans the day before the president made his announcement? I mean, or for that matter, what about a month from now when the student is starting into their new semester of their college because we're going into the fall and they realize they don't have enough for all their classes, they take out a student loan then. They don't get forgiven. It's only the ones who are in place now. It's a nut roll. Charlie, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Okay, take care, Phil. Thanks for all you do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, folks, you want to call in. I'd love to hear your perspective on this. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Well, Jonathan Turley is a Boomer, you got clip two? Jonathan Turley is a legal scholar at George Washington University. He is somebody whose commentary is usually spot on. And he agrees this was very questionable, the manner in which the president thought he could do this. First of all, it's questionable in general. But secondly, I mean, was it wise? No. But was it also possible? I think the answer may be no. Little short clip. Jonathan Turley, go ahead and play it, Boomer.
Extremely dubious to argue that act gives the president the right to basically toss aside $300 billion, as much as that, in student loans.
Yeah, I think very dubious is a nice way of saying it. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, I got a stack of articles here. The first one's going to come on Larry Kudlow speaking on Fox Business about the way this went down and what does it mean. But then we're going to get into the crisis after crisis after crisis to help the Biden administration get what it wants. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We will do that. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Biden is crying wolf, and I'll show you where and how. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning south of Birmingham, the north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, the Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in for good measure. Well, listen, I got a text a minute ago, too, from David from Huntsville. He pointed out Representative Buddy Carter said earlier this week that 87% of Americans did not have student loan debt, but now they are paying for others. So basically everybody, there was the 13% who had it apparently, 87% didn't, now 100% have it. That's a great point, David from Huntsville. Thank you very much. Okay, story on Fox Business. Dated yesterday, actually. Yeah. Larry Kudlow on student loan debt handout. Biden is using questionable COVID health emergency authority. And he points out, he says, the talk of the town this evening is President, this is last night, Joe Biden's announcement a little over an hour ago to cancel student loans to a large number of people who are mostly concentrated in the upper reaches of our national income. Yeah, there's a point, too. He said, essentially, because, you know, if you look at it, it's if you make less than $125,000, you can have $10,000 worth of student loan debt wiped out, which, by the way, is apparently most people with student loan debt have between $10,000 and $20,000, which there's nothing in there apparently that we know of right now that makes that a different amount of income required for a couple. So in this case, he said a couple making $250,000 a year could have $20,000 in debt wiped out. And then he says, my take, this is a bad idea. He said, Biden is using COVID health emergency authority, which is a very shaky assumption to hand out his election year relief. And that's the thing. Biden's means of getting things done has been to declare emergencies and then declare that because it's now an emergency, because he said so, he's now allowed to use emergency powers to do whatever it is he wants to do. Well, I got news. You can't create the problem and then be allowed to use your solution to create the problem. You can't be allowed then to use your solution to fix the problem you created. It's not supposed to work that way. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a self-licking ice cream cone. All right? That is literally a self-licking ice cream cone. You are serving your own needs by literally creating the reasons for which your needs get met. It's just unreal. Kudlow goes on to point out more or less 70% of predominantly middle-class taxpayers are going to be bailing out something like 30% of those best well-off. And he says it also sounds a lot like an election year handout. And then he says this, too. I'd forgotten this. If you remember, I did mention it briefly yesterday, but I keep forgetting. You know, when the student loan program started out, it was a public-private partnership. It was basically a government-backed loan that went through a private lender, which, by the way, is what the payroll protection loans were this during the pandemic, PPP. You went through a private lender with government-backed loans. All right? In this case, the student loans were originally a public-private partnership, government-backed, but it still had to go through the loan process with a commercial lender. And then Obama took office. Oh, wait a minute. Who was his vice president? Yeah, that'd be Joe Biden. So Biden took office and suddenly changed. And it became a thing where the private lending by banks and others got moved into just the federal government doing it. And so now it's government loans, period. And Kudlow points out that when he worked in the Trump administration, he said, we in the Trump administration wanted to pull out, including Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. He said, get it out of there. Those educrats don't know anything about banking, and nowadays they spend most of their time working on critical race theory. Yeah. He said, plus, why not move student lending back to the private lending sector, like banks, at all? They know how to judge credits and evaluate future earning streams. Maybe not perfectly, but a lot better than the educrats. But Team Biden does not like the private sector. True. But Team Biden, they got themselves a COVID emergency. Now, here's the thing. Think about this. What was it? So basically, it's the pandemic authorities for emergencies that give him the ability to now declare that he can wipe out student loan debt? What a reach. But wait a minute. I thought it was just like a month and a half ago that he said he no longer needed Title 42 at the border because the pandemic had lifted. Title 42, if you recall, is the authorization by Congress to allow for a more expedited process of putting people back across the border they came over if they are deemed to have come from somewhere that is at high risk for COVID. Well, that's not a thing anymore. we can go ahead and lift Title 42. We can. So it's safe to come across the border, but it's not safe to pay off your student loan. Do you see the hypocrisy? I mean, you're going to cry wolf. You ought to at least cry it consistently. You ought to cry it in the same language every time. But you can't. And I look at it and go, do they not hear themselves? At what point did someone sitting in the room with the president look at this situation and go, hey, Mr. President, excuse me. Hey, sir, you just said the other day we couldn't do Title 42 anymore. So I don't know that we can do this. I mean, just saying. Apparently it didn't happen. Wow. Well, listen, we're gonna spend time unpacking this because this is the beginning. This is the latest in a string of opportunities for people to just watch the president declare one emergency after the other. So what he just did with emergency proclamation to wipe out student loan debt is exactly what he's done in various other so-called emergencies throughout his limited time in office. Phone's ringing. I'll go ahead and take calls. Remember, if you got one, I'll grab it. You're good on that? We good? Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Brian, Phil Williams, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, but I'm wondering about why you mentioned why can we not move the student loans back to private banks and everything. I can give you one reason. What is that scoring that they're doing now based on how woke you are?
ESG scoring.
ESG scoring, bingo, and they would test the kids first, and they would not give a loan.
If you are not woke enough, you cannot have your student loan. Wow,
precise.
If you're not planning on doing gender diversity studies at Harvard, then we can't give you the loan. That's
I'm just saying, basically, they'll go back through your history, their history, and see what's happened. And it's half humorous, but it's a lot serious.
Cogent analysis as always, Brian. Cogent analysis. You too, buddy.
Bye.
All right. Who knows? He ain't wrong. I tell you what, though, it's going to take Congress to get that thing back into a public-private situation. I mean, student loans, I get it. If you feel like you can qualify for the loan and you recognize you're signing up for it and you really need that degree or you want that degree, I get it. But just because you wanted to go experiment with college and you tested it out on underwater basket weaving courses does not mean that we should now be on the hook for your debt. Period. More on this when I get back. Biden is crying wolf. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, local, state, national man. All the issues we are covering down, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Boomer and I were cracking each other up a minute ago because we were sitting here just talking. We're just talking away, and all of a sudden he looks over and goes, oh, we're going on the air. Like, oh, yeah, we got a show to do. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, obviously we enjoy each other's company, so that's good. Speaking of which, total aside, I'm chasing a rabbit trail here. Like, this is like got nothing to do with Biden and payroll, you know, or payoffs and all that kind of stuff. We were watching on screen, actually it was CNN that had it, and I don't know, where was this super slide, but do you see where it was, Boomer? Anyway, somebody put up a super slide, and it's the kind, you know, like the kids have to go way up, and it's like two stories high, and they come sliding down on, you know, like potato sacks or something, and but it's the kind that's got waves in it, so they Well, it's so fast that the kids are flying off the humps in the slide and like catching like 4 feet of air and multiple times on the way down and slamming into this metal slide on the way down, rocking their world. And I'm thinking, man, who built that thing? They're coming down like flying down this slide. And you're thinking, okay, there is someone somewhere needs to sign a waiver like real quick. But I can still remember too, as a kid, I'm reaching way back right now. I'm old, so I'm reaching way back. We had a super slide in Huntsville adjacent to what became Parkway City Mall. I don't think it wasn't even an enclosed mall at that point. The Madison Twin Theaters actually had doors to the outside, and the super slide was on the left side. If you were looking from the parkway looking at the mall, the super slide was on the left side. I'm wondering how many people out there remember the super slide. It was huge. And you went up there and they gave you a potato sack and you sat in the potato sack and just went screaming down the slide. So where is that thing? Michigan? Michigan's giant slide. Read that headline to me.
Michigan giant slide is viral for being too fast. Will people get hurt?
And the comments will hurt your back. Okay, I agree. All right, on to other things. You want to call in, by the way, 833-68-RIGHT. We'll take calls along the way. 833-687-4448. So listen, Kudlow was right. Biden has chosen to take some very questionable authorities in order to make these, student loans go away. And they're not going to go away. In my opinion, they're going to wind up being enjoined. Pretty soon, someone's going to find an artful means by which they can, declare themselves a plaintiff, and some artful lawyers are going to file suit, and it's going to wind up working its way through the system, and it's going to be enjoined at the lower court level. The federal district court is going to enjoin it. It's going to get passed up to the Supreme Court, and I suspect that sooner or later, someone's going to look at this at the ultimate level and say, Mr. Biden, you were wrong, and you can't just willy-nilly decide to declare an emergency so you can wipe out people's debts. But he's doing this a lot. So here's a story I got from July 27th from the New York Times. New York Times. Headline, Biden is facing crisis after crisis, but are they emergencies? In a time of political, economic turmoil, just what exactly counts as a national emergency? President Biden has declared one for COVID, for solar panels, for Russian oil, but at the time it says not yet for monkeypox. God, get me started on that. He has hesitated to call the climate crisis an emergency. He has concluded that doing so for reproductive rights would be mostly meaningless. The power to declare emergencies, the author of this article in the New York Times says, is one of the few presidential powers that can be exercised without much oversight from Congress or the courts, allowing the nation's leader to respond quickly in a crisis by invoking special authorities or unlocking federal funds. So first of all, whoop, 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 let me just go ahead and tell you, we're reading from a liberal article. All right. Have you got a bomb sound effect for me, Boomer? I mean, I'm reading from a liberal article. Ready, go. All right. So there it is. I'm blowing up the fact this is a liberal article. The power to declare emergencies. What they're saying in this article is they want him to declare more. Mr. Biden, you can get more done, please, if you'll just declare more emergencies. Well, in particular, like for instance, how about the things that he declares not an emergency? Like when he got elected on his first day in office, his very first day, he revoked Proclamation 9844 that President Trump had used to begin building the wall. And then President Biden's words, he says, quote, I have determined that the declaration of a national emergency at our southern border was unwarranted. It shall be the policy of my administration that no more American taxpayer dollars be diverted to construct a border wall. Well, for the love. But yet, people's student loans are a national emergency, but you can't build a freaking wall on the southern border? Well, you've got climate activists who are working with him. Oh, you've got to confront big oil. Call it an emergency. I'm reading from this article. Then you got advocates declaring an emergency would give him broader powers to cut greenhouse gas emissions if he would just, declare an emergency. Then you got abortion rights advocates, I'm reading from the same article, wanting him to declare a public health emergency regarding the Supreme Court decisions to overturn Roe v. Wade. He could reinstate protections for abortion if he would just do it, they say. And then you've got the spread of monkeypox, a public health emergency. says Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, the director of the general of the World Health Organization, declared a global health emergency, and he's asking that Biden declare one at the United States. Listen, if everything's an emergency, then nothing is. And this is an abuse of power. An abuse of power. Did you get a caller, Boomer? Was that just somebody are you just talking to your friends? What's happening over there? Order a pizza? Will you order a pizza?
Just ordering pizza. No, it was Brian. He was like, that was fitting, Boomer, just for the bomb, Boomer.
Oh, yeah, Boomer and the bomb. He was calling in to give you kudos on your sound effects?
Kudos, sound effects, but not wanting to hear it because sometimes he's up in Huntsville with everything going on.
And what did JT call in about?
Oh, JT, yeah. So from Lacey Springs, he's curious, you know, when and if these people receive their 10K, will that be considered income and become taxable?
Drop the bomb for me again. Yeah. That's a great question, JT. I mean, most people who enter into some type of a windfall, if like you win the lottery or anything, you pay taxes. That's an amazing... So, okay. That's interesting. I don't know. Would it be if there's a CPA out there who can tell me why loan forgiveness would or would not be taxable? I'd like to know, because this was not part of the congressional allocation, like for payroll forgiveness, where it was written in that it would not be taxable in the event that it was wiped out. My recollection, but in this case, that was not part of the program, to my knowledge. It was not something his. Like I said, his ability to wipe away the loans did not come through congressional authorization. So, that's very cool. All right, what else have we got here in my stack of emergency declarations? How about this one, dated July 10th? Biden waives a public health emergency for abortion access. Here's what that means. Oh, it's an emergency. We've got to have more abortions. Please, Mr. Biden, help us kill our babies. President Joe Biden said on Sunday, this is July 10th, he has asked his staff to see if, quote, he has the authority to declare a public health emergency to address abortion access, a move that could release additional funding and give federal health officials more power to respond to state-level abortion restrictions, those evil states that are out there restricting the killing of babies. Following calls from progressive Democrats to take a sweeping action to protect abortion rights, yada, yada. Says while Biden signed an executive order, he did, directing his administration to defend abortion rights and providers, Democrat officials and progressives have called for Biden to take broader actions, like declaring a public health emergency. This is in Forbes, by the way, July 10th. Can you imagine? So we now have an emergency because we can't kill enough. We now have an emergency because we have student loans. We now have an emergency because we can't kill enough babies. And the president has to take action. Because he knows how to fight corn pop. Man, he can take it. I'm on a roll today. What do I got next? I'm saving it, but I'm going for it now. Forbes, another article for Forbes. August 6th. Monkeypox declared a public health emergency in the United States. Okay, another monkeypox. I want to know, does anybody out there know anybody with monkeypox? Boomer?
I do not. I know somebody, remember, with the monkey phobia, but that's it.
You don't know. You do know about the monkey phobia, but you don't have anybody in your sphere of influence that has monkeypox.
No, I do not.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Basically, the majority of the world doesn't know anybody with monkeypox.
I'll start asking people.
Okay, if you would. If you come across one, let me know.
Will do.
August 4th, the Biden administration declared monkeypox a public health emergency. The announcement comes on the heels of the World Health Organization also declaring monkeypox a public health emergency. This implies that monkeypox poses a global public health risk through international spread and requires a coordinated international response. Okay. This article was written on August 6th, so it is right now at, 3 weeks old. More than 27,600 monkeypox cases have been reported across 87 countries. Okay, first of all, let's keep in mind, 27,000. Boomer checked it for me beforehand. There are roughly 7.9 billion, with a B, billion people in a whole world. And 27,000 of them got them some monkeypox. 8,300 cases confirmed in the United States. out of a population of, what, 300 some odd million. This is not an emergency. In fact, it's laughable. It diminishes the value of the word emergency when you do this. Importantly, a public health emergency declaration releases resources earmarked for an actual or emerging public health crisis. I like how they worded that. Releases them for an actual or emerging public health crisis. In the case of monkeypox, the federal government can now significantly scale the production and availability of vaccines, expand testing, making testing more convenient. The declaration also facilitates the coordination of federal, state, and local authorities. Furthermore, funding is directed at coordinating across jurisdictions awareness and prevention outreach programs. Additionally, the Secretary of Homeland Security can conduct and support investigations. Really? So Forbes is good with the idea that when hardly anybody in the world has monkeypox, that the president can declare an emergency, a public health emergency, which gives the Secretary of, I'm sorry, I said Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, to conduct and support investigations. Curious. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. I ran long, dude. I've got a few more of these. How about climate? How about solar? How about oil? Everywhere you look, all God's children got an emergency. At least if Uncle Joe's around. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Oh, man, that was that's one of the better bumps right there. The beginning of Stranglehold, yep. With Ted Nugent, if you haven't seen it, if you want to check out podcasts of the show, still to this day, our top trending podcast is our interview with Ted Nugent. The Motor City Madman, and like Charlene says, the guy's a force of nature, and yes, he is. But what a blast we had spending time with Ted Nugent. Uncle Ted spent some time with us, and it was just good. And you can find that podcast. What was the date of that podcast? Do you recall the date? Boomer's going to check real quick. We can tell you if you want to surf it by date and find that. Hang on. I got the wrong stack of notes. I put my current notes over there. Now I'll swap them back out. I got my stacks over here. All right, listen. I'm talking about the fact that President Biden's means by... Oh, you got the date, your Boomer?
Yeah. August 3rd.
It was August 3rd. Okay. Yeah, August 3rd, if you want to surf back through our podcast archives on any source you use, whether it be Podbean or Apple or Google or whatever, you can find August 3rd, you can find the interview with Ted Nugent. The man's a patriot. He's definitely got his own means of expressing his opinions, and he does not mind saying what's on his mind. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I also, by the way, it was kind of cool. This is a total aside here, but I got to tell him about how I got his autograph in Baghdad, which is, if you're looking at the screen, is behind me on one of the shelves by the window looking into the Right Side studio, lower shelf. All right. Here's the thing. We're going to keep this topic going for a little bit longer. Biden chooses to get his liberal agenda passed by declaring emergencies. Make no mistake. He knows he can't get it through Congress. And you know what's interesting? He has a majority in both the House and the Senate. And yet he still can't get all this stuff through. So what does he do? If he knows he can't, because he's bowing to the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, all the verrucas, if you will, out there, screaming for what they want, and they want it now, he declares an emergency. Here's another article, Vanity Fair from July 19th. Biden under pressure to declare climate emergency as his agenda nosedives. The Washington Post reported on Tuesday, this is back in July, that Biden appears to be readying to act with an emergency declaration that could come as soon as that week and several other executive actions to curb emissions It's unclear what the full scope of his action would include, and the White House official told the Post that no decisions had been finalized yet. But the official said, the president made clear, if the Senate does not act to tackle the climate crisis and strengthen our domestic clean energy industry, he will. Ugh. The news comes during a global flashpoint around climate change. Deadly heat waves in the United States have strained Texas power grids. In Europe, temperatures in the United Kingdom to record highs of over 40 degrees Celsius Tuesday. Wildfires across Europe. Cats and dogs living together. Madness. Chaos everywhere you look. Quick, declare an emergency. Well, that's what he does. Well, how about this one? In like fashion, Biden orders an emergency and takes steps to boost U.S. solar production. Did you know that we had a national emergency because we didn't have enough solar panels? I kid you not. As Boomer puts his head, that's a total facepalm, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Total facepalm.
Total.
Total facepalm. If people could see you, I looked over and there you were with your head in your hands.
Yeah.
That was a double facepalm.
I just can't believe this. So everything, like you said, is an emergency.
June 6th, as U.S. News reports, Biden orders emergency steps to boost U.S. solar production. President Joe Biden ordered emergency measures on Monday to boost crucial supplies to U.S. solar manufacturers and declared a two-year tariff exemption on solar panels from Southeast Asia as he attempted to jumpstart progress towards his climate change fighting goals. He invoked the Defense Production Act. You know what the Defense Production Act is supposed to be for? Protecting the sovereignty of the United States against potential enemies. Well, apparently, the idea that we didn't have enough solar panels warranted his use of the Defense Production Act by declaring an emergency. And it says, after the White House, if Biden's pause in tariffs was a gift to China, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said he was evoking the Defense Production Act to make sure he's delivering for the American people. He's putting the full force of the federal government behind American clean energy. That's right. He's picking winners and losers. He's subsidizing an industry with our tax dollars that can't sustain itself because it's not viable in its entirety yet. Oh, I got more. Hang on. We'll do a little bit more when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Everything's an emergency. I got news. Everything's not an emergency. We'll be right back. Let it play, bro. Go let it play. Let it play. All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Here we are. I cannot believe it's already an hour. We're already an hour and a half into the show.
I know. It blows my mind how quick it goes.
Did you just reach up there and speed the clock up? What'd you do?
No, I didn't. I was just sitting here watching it. It just flew by.
Well, listen, let me pursue this topic a little bit longer with you. Emergency proclamations can be abused, and apparently President Biden has at least figured that out. Every once in a while I wonder, is he aware that he's doing this? Surely he is, but I mean, I don't know if he remembers what he had for breakfast. So I look at it and go, Mr. President, surely you understand that you can't keep doing this. Here's another story, Reuters, March 31st. Biden spurs record emergency oil release in moment of peril for the world. President Joe Biden on Thursday, that's back on March 31st, launched the largest release from the U.S. emergency oil reserves and challenged oil companies to drill more in an attempt to bring down gasoline prices. The announcement came as part of a broad effort by Biden to tackle raging inflation that has hurt U.S. consumers. 1 million barrels per day of crude oil for 6 months from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, he said. It's a moment of consequence and peril for the world and pain at the pump for American families. It's also a moment of patriotism. And he asked oil company executives to serve their customers and protect their American families ahead of the investors that they've been rewarding with billions of dollars in dividends. Well, first of all, he does not understand business. But the American Petroleum Institute, which is the petroleum sector's largest lobbying group, they said that the Strategic Petroleum Reserves TAP in that emergency proclamation, it might give some short-term relief, but it was not a long-term solution. Their response, instead of managing from crisis to crisis, this is the best line. This is like a wrap-up for my entire segment here. Instead of managing from crisis to crisis, we should be focused on promoting policies that avoid them altogether through increased production of our nation's domestic energy resources. So, and by the way, it goes on to say, he also invoked the Defense Production Act to allow him to be supporting of production of processing of minerals and materials for large capacity batteries for electric vehicles, things like lithium, nickel, cobalt, graphite, manganese. So we have the Defense Production Act being used for solar panels and battery components. We have an emergency proclamation to release 1 million barrels a day from our strategic petroleum reserves, which are designed to protect us in a crisis, a true crisis. By the way, keep in mind the reason why we are having to go away from being a net energy exporter to an importer is because of his policies. His policies have put us in this position, and yet he's going to release our strategic reserves to try and fill the gap. And then he has, like I said, the emergency proclamation to allow for solar panels. He has the emergency proclamation for monkeypox. He has the emergency proclamation for COVID again and again and again and again. But yet, the emergency proclamation for COVID is not good enough on the southern border because he wants to lift it down there for Title 42. But yet, at the same time, he needs to extend it so he can forgive all of these student loans, which were part of an emergency proclamation. Let me just tell you, New York Post ran a story July 18th, and it says, "Hey, Team Biden, enough with the COVID emergency declarations." And I'm going to tell you, I would say that in general, it's not just the fact that he's using this for so-called public health emergencies. He's doing this across the board to get any part of his liberal agenda done. I've never seen anything like this, but it's not leadership. What we're looking at here is a situation where you can clearly look at Joe Biden's actions and you can tell he's never led anything in his entire life. And I don't say that just purely out of like some kind of spite or like an insult. I'm saying it as a matter of fact. He spent all those years in Congress or the U.S. Senate. By the way, you're not in charge of anything when you're in the Senate. You might be a committee chairman. You might have a few staff in your office. You might have a campaign manager who runs your reelection. But truthfully, you're not leading anything. You're the name on the sign. You have the luxury of rhetoric without responsibility is what I always say. Rhetoric without responsibility. For 40 years, he was allowed to go to the podium and say whatever he wanted to say and then walk away from the podium and own nothing. And so having had no training or experience in leadership, he's now in charge of everything. And not knowing what else to do, he caves to the whims of his progressive base by continuing to call for a crisis and a crisis and a crisis over and over and over again. I got news. If you keep crying wolf, no one's going to listen anymore. The world looks at that and thinks, what is he doing? I mean, does he understand for a second that one day there might be a real crisis, and by then the rest of the world will go, what, he called for it again? Leadership in a crisis means bringing calm to those around you. It does not mean ramping things up. You don't walk into the movie theater where people are panicking because someone fired a shot and fire more shots to make it better. It doesn't work that way. What you got, Boomer?
I was just going to ask, do you think a lot of people out there in the United States are just kind of roll their eyes every time he comes on? I mean, because of this, he announces everything an emergency.
I guarantee you they do. I mean, if you look at it, there's nobody, I don't know of anybody sitting around their kitchen table, and there may be people having trouble paying their bills because they got in over their head, with the student loan bailout. But there was nobody, there were no water cooler conversations about, man, the nation is going under because of all the student loans. No, there's nobody out there saying the nation is we are struggling. This is the generational issue of our lifetime. monkeypox. No.
Did you realize that we didn't have enough solar panels?
Yeah, exactly. No. I mean, when we hit the switch, do the lights come on? Yeah. Well, if the power went out, I wouldn't blame it on the lack of solar panels. But here's the thing. You cannot declare crisis over and over again and expect that to fly. But at the same time, that is not leadership. That is not. That is absolutely someone who doesn't know what else to do, so they scream. And have you ever been in one of those meetings? And I've seen it in sometimes in the military and in the civilian sector, where, you know, there's that person who struggles with leadership. Maybe their interpersonal skills aren't good, or they think that by virtue of their rank, they can just go ahead and yell and shout you down, and it's going to be okay. This is what I expect, and you'll get it done, by God. You know, I got news. That's not leadership. You can have leadership by virtue of your position, but real leaders are the ones who earn the respect of those they lead. And right now, what we got is a guy who is literally every single day leading strictly by virtue of his position. I respect that office, but I'm struggling with the idea of a guy in there who does not understand the value, who does not understand what it means to walk in his actual authority, who doesn't know what it means to actually lead in a crisis as opposed to creating the crisis so he can lead. Oh my gosh, write that down. Did you hear that, Boomer? I got to write that down. He literally, that's a great point. He literally, rather than lead in a crisis, he creates the crisis so he can lead. That's where we're going to break. Boomer, take us to a break right there. Good enough. Thank you writing on the board so I don't forget it. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back, and I'm switching gears. We've been on that far too long. Unless you want to call in and talk about it, I'll still talk about it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What do you think? Biden leading in a crisis so he can, you know, lead it all? Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering all of North Alabama, making it cool to be a conservative. So I got some calls on the line. We'll go ahead and take those before I switch topics. Let me just do that real quick. Line two, Bubba from ARAB. Bubba, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying I moved from California out here, so I know corrupt politicians.
Okay, all right.
All right, so I kind of got a tinfoil hat idea.
All right, what you got?
So the one caller earlier said that what if they're gonna tax the $10,000?
Yeah.
For the student loan, right?
Right.
So why did he wait until they, you know, decided to hire 87,000 IRS agents?
Oh, tinfoil hat. There you go. We just had millions of people who just suddenly had windfall income, and now we have 87,000 new IRS agents coming on board to help go collect that money.
They're going to have to get it back somehow, right?
Bubba, I do not think you're off base, man. I think you're onto something here. I think you may have just unraveled part of the mystery. That's big doings. Bubba, good call, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too, bud. Line three, Tom from Huntsville. Hey, Tom, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing well.
Good.
I just want to tell you, I'm from out of state. Been here 6 years in Alabama from Michigan.
Well, welcome home.
And I just got some observations. You know, I think things are much more dire. And what I think this whole everything smells of Obama, and he's probably controlling things. But my point is, I think a lot of these things are diversions to keep everybody from talking about the election coming up. And I think they've got plans with the tech companies and everything. They've already been working on it behind the scenes. And it's not that they don't believe in all this. and they think it's probably going to come true anyway. But I don't even believe that they are worried. I think they've got it, you know. I think it's going to be checkmate.
Well,
what
do
you think?
I hope you're wrong. I mean, I still believe. Well, yes, of course I hope you're wrong. But now, I first of all, glad you're here in Alabama. Welcome home. I'm of the mind that we're going to be on our guard, and there's enough people paying attention for 2020 that we have to go to the polls believing that the elections will work. But I do agree with your first point. I do agree with your first point completely that this is a diversion. He's trying to recapture the moment because he knows his agenda is this failing and flailing and you know flagging at every turn.
I think the real black cloud is coming from the World Economic Forum.
Oh yeah,
and this is just kids stuff that they're playing with now, and you know the problem I have is that you know back in 2011 when the Tea Party came in,
yeah,
they gave Mitch McConnell the Senate, the head of the Senate and the House. What did he do?
Nothing.
You know, it's like a coach at halftime.
Well,
I mean, the Republicans are behind.
I agree.
You think they're not going to? Yeah. And what, do you hear anything from Mitch? No.
No, in fact, Mitch McConnell, I had a segment on my show, I think it was yesterday, where I talked about this very thing. Mitch McConnell himself was asked, what is the plan if y'all take charge of both the House and the Senate again? And he said, if we get reelected, I'll tell you then. In other words, he didn't want to announce any plans because then you get held accountable for your plans.
It's obvious he didn't want... Mo Brooks elected.
No.
You know?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. And so he wants everybody that agrees with him. And I just don't see any. That's the thing. We can talk all we want, but unless we change him and we get enough people to you know, complain about it, I don't think it's going to change, obviously, but
we hope it does.
Something comes up and there's a white knight. Somebody comes riding in and takes charge, but I don't know.
I am extremely hopeful, and I'm looking for leadership in the House to also recognize that they can't keep doing things the way they're doing. If McCarthy's going to be the man, he better be the man. But Tom, good call, man. I got one more on the line.
Yep.
Let me go grab it real quick. Take care. All right, line one, Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, I'm blessed. Taking my call, I just wanted to go one up on Tom. You just talked to our puppet masters behind the scene. Biden may not know what he's doing, but he knows what he has been told to do. I don't know whether it's the Obama mafia or George Soros or the tech oligarchy. It doesn't really matter. There are puppet masters behind the scene. They're doing this very shrewdly. The House candidates, since they're not asking Biden to come help them, they don't have to say, "Oh well, we didn't support the student loan thing. We don't support giving money to you know this, that, and the other, just spending more money." So they can't be rallied against by conservatives. And now you've got not so conservative candidates that Mitch McConnell says, "Well, I don't know that we can take back the Senate because we have four candidates, the same candidates that Trump supported, who are winning their primaries." So it's a real mess, and I don't know if all these emergencies are going to impact the election. I think they will. There's no telling come up with in the swing states that we really need to run progressives out of.
Well, at the very least, I would think that at the very least, the monkeypox proclamation shouldn't affect the election. That's one. I would hope that solar panels couldn't affect the. You know, it's just. But you're right. It's unreal. And I. By the way, you mentioned Soros, Obama, and what was your other one? I think you said there was
tech oligarchs.
Oh yeah, I think all the above's in his ear. I think you know Susan Rice is one of his chief advisors, who's very quiet in the background somewhere doing something. I think she's pulling a lot of the strings inside the White House right now, to be honest. And she's definitely the Obamaite who is still hanging around. But
I would just think, Phil, you know, with politicians, pretty much all, maybe not 100%, follow the money. People make money buying stock options, yada, 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 their family, just on the
commitment that we're going to do this, that, and the other.
Well, I do believe some do. I will tell you, I do know there are some good people in office who give me hope when I see them.
I agree. I wish we had a lot more of them.
I do, too. Hey, Thomas, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience.
Sure. Bye.
All right. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and wrap. If you want to call in, we'll keep taking them as we go. But yeah, 833-687-4448. That is the phone number, 833-68-RIGHT. Moving into the next topic when we get back from the top of the hour news. Did you know if you don't have an electric vehicle, you apparently have a psychological disorder? Did you know that? Boomer, did you know that? I mean, you and me both driving our trucks and enjoying it, but hey, maybe it's psychological, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I need to hear about this. Well,
it's called range anxiety.
Uh-oh.
Did you know that? Listen, Boomer, half the battle is recognizing the problem.
All right, I guess we can talk about it in a little bit. I need to go through this counseling.
Stop laughing. This is serious business. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if you want to, before we go into this next topic, if you're at a computer, just go Google the phrase range anxiety. In fact, if you want to make it even more fun, just type in EV and then the words range anxiety. Because apparently, if you don't have a electric vehicle, it's because you have anxiety about the range that that vehicle might have. This is a thing. They write about it. I got a stack of stuff. Range anxiety. It's big doings. Hey, Boomer, if I'm going to take that call, I got to take it like right now. What you think, man? We got time? Boomer? All right, we'll have to make that one after the top of the hour. Tell him thanks. All right, folks, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. Range anxiety. And then later in the show, I do have a section you might want to hear, assuming I can get to it. Trading blows in the woke wars. Oh, yeah. Is it woke world? Yes, but what I'm looking at is conservatives and liberals are trading blows right now. And it's a full-on fight. So that'll be coming up later. Trading blows in the work world, in the woke wars. But next, range anxiety. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.